Hey, welcome to Politico Tech. Today is Wednesday, January 3rd. I'm Stephen Overly. On yesterday's show, we talked about state capitals being where all the tech action will happen in 2024. But that doesn't mean Washington will be totally dead.
I mean, the topic that's getting most of the attention is AI. I would also add things like data privacy, the Kids Online Safety Act.
This is Darryl West. He's a senior fellow at the Center for Technology Innovation at the Brookings Institution, where his research mainly focuses on politics, artificial intelligence, and the future of work. Darryl has written books on divisive U.S. politics in the Trump era and the pitfalls that AI poses for lawmakers. This year, he expects both issues to be front and center in the tech debate. But it's an election year. So on the show today, Darryl tells me what Washington could actually get done. Darryl, Congress spent most of 2023 talking about AI risks and regulation, but did not pass any meaningful laws on it. What will all of that talk lead to in this new year?
There's a lot of concern about AI from every front. Both Republicans and Democrats are worried that AI-generated content is going to be used against them in harmful ways. So there is some hope of legislation to improve the transparency of AI-generated content in campaign communications. There's concern among both parties about fake videos and fake audio tapes. We've actually already seen some examples of this in the campaign. So there may be bipartisan legislation to address that particular issue.
Got it. Tackling these niche issues, do you think there's any chance of comprehensive AI legislation this year?
No. There's a lot of talk about AI. There are a lot of concerns, but Congress is still not unified on how to address those issues. So, for example, there's a big problem of consumer fraud. You know, all of us are living more of our lives online. There's a lot of mischief taking place in terms of financial fraud. There's scamming. You know, people are being bilked out of millions and billions of dollars overall. So we actually need legislation to protect consumers against AI-related consumer fraud. There are huge problems in this area. So far, Congress has not acted. There are Federal Trade Commission enforcement actions that are taking place, but that is limited to a company-by-company and case-by-case approach. So it's not very systematic and not very comprehensive. We actually need legislation in that area.
And so it sounds like you don't see a chance of that getting done, certainly at the national level. Is there any chance of those sort of consumer fraud concerns getting tackled in 24?
We know the parties have very different visions in terms of how to reform technology-related issues. And also just the fact, you know, it's a major campaign year. And so each of the parties are kind of jockeying for partisan advantage as opposed to like meaningfully sitting down and trying to figure out how can we address these public policy issues. So the prospects of congressional action are pretty limited.
Right. An election year is not exactly the year for a lot of collaboration, bipartisanship, compromise, you name it. You know, the one area that we did see AI movement in 2023 was the Biden administration moving its AI executive order. That was late last year. And now we're expecting a slew of federal agencies to release new guidelines on the use of AI. How will the impact of that executive order be felt this year, if at all?
I think that executive order actually could be quite impactful. Now, that order was limited to federal agencies, so the Biden administration can basically direct the agencies to come up with new rules and regulations that will affect how the agencies operate. So it doesn't constrain private companies and people outside of government, but yet the federal government is such a big buyer of digital goods and services that when there are policies enacted for federal agencies, it often spills over into the private sector because, you know, companies don't want to develop one set of products for federal agencies and then another for everybody else. So I think what the administration is doing because of the federal government's purchasing power is going to be impactful for the private sector. So, for example, they're trying to improve the explainability of AI just so people understand what are the kinds of data that are going into those decisions, how different factors are being weighted. So I think that could help if they move constructively in that direction. They're also worried about, you know, fake documents coming out that somebody's saying this is a Department of Treasury rule or regulation when it actually isn't. And so that executive order suggested the use of watermarking to basically authenticate federal documents so that people know when they're looking at something that it actually is coming from the federal government.
You know, one thing I've been curious about is the issues that will define this 2024 election. When that's sort of talked about, right, there's conversations around abortion, around immigration, the economy. I never really hear AI. You know, for all the anxiety about the rapid advancement of AI, it doesn't seem yet to be an issue that is defining elections or people are thinking about when they go into the ballot box. You know, why is that the case?
AI is still a relatively new development. And so I think people see it on the horizon as opposed to something that's directly affecting them right now. You know, you look at questions of border security, immigration, tax policy, healthcare, and all these other issues. Like, these are immediate issues that are affecting people right now. They've been on the horizon for decades. And so people are used to thinking about those. With tech-related problems, even though everybody understands these are potentially transformational types of developments, they can't quite figure out what it means for them, what the problems are for them, and what they should be worried about. So now we're kind of in the level of abstract concerns. And so AI is never going to rise to the level of education, healthcare, and taxes until people start really feeling the impact and complaining about how AI is affecting them.
We'll be right back. You know, we hear so often on this podcast from guests saying, you know, this is a problem that's coming. We need to get ahead of it. We need to address it. In politics, that just doesn't seem to often happen. It's sort of not a defining issue until it's been a problem, not could be a problem.
It has to be very direct in terms of the harms being inflicted on consumers for people to start really complaining about it. You know, politicians listen to their constituents when they start getting a lot of complaints, like when people are having big healthcare problems. Politicians got, you know, thousands of phone calls and letters complaining about this. They're probably not getting a lot of letters complaining about the possibility of AI harms down the road. But as AI gets more integrated into finance, healthcare, education, and other areas, they're going to start getting complaints. We're going to see an increase in consumer fraud. So, for example, there can be fake videos pretending to be your grandmother that are going to call you up, and it's going to sound exactly like your grandmother, and their people are going to get scammed out of money. When stuff like that starts to happen, politicians are going to hear about it. Then we will start seeing legislative action.
Got it. Well, you know, speaking of that, the use of AI to mimic voices or dupe people, essentially, you know, we've reported that there's one candidate using AI for her calls to voters in this upcoming election. And that's something the campaign is doing. It's legitimate. But how much are you expecting to see AI come up as an issue on the campaign trail? You know, its use in the actual election.
I think where it's going to start to come up is when we start seeing more and more fake videos. And I've already seen a number that are starting to come out of the various campaigns. As that becomes more frequent and more ubiquitous, it's going to arise as a campaign issue, and reporters are going to start asking candidates, how are you going to handle these types of issues? And the good news is both Republicans and Democrats are worried that fake videos are going to harm them, that it's going to be used against them. It's going to kind of upset the way in which voters get information. When we reach that point, then it's going to become a campaign issue. When people start worrying about how it affects their own reelection efforts and their own reelection campaigns, then that creates the possibility of action down the road.
Let me ask you, you know, a topic I am hearing so far in the campaign trail, at least a little bit, is related to criticism of TikTok and influence from China. We heard some Republican contenders for president talking about this. This is an issue that's been talked about a lot in Washington, including an interview we had late last year with Congressman Raja Krishnamurti talking about how he'd like to see Congress address this. Is TikTok a realistic campaign point?
There is a lot of concern about TikTok and the fact that it has a Chinese owner. But I think politicians are conflicted on the TikTok issue because in the abstract, they are worried about China using it as a vehicle for foreign influence on our campaign. But at the same time, we know young people are the people who are using TikTok, and both Republicans and Democrats want to reach youth voters. And so many of the campaigns actually, even when they publicly criticize a TikTok as a possible possible agent of Chinese influence, they're actually using TikTok for their own domestic communications purposes to reach young people. So as long as there's that tension, it's going to be harder for there to be legislation, you know, banning TikTok, which, you know, was proposed about 6 months ago. That hasn't really advanced very far. Right. But there certainly will be a lot of public criticism of TikTok, and people are watching how it is being used in this campaign.
That's such a paradox that we've seen across all social media, but you're right, especially with TikTok, where there's this criticism of TikTok's ownership, there's criticism from conservatives of bias across other social media platforms, and yet politicians don't stop using them. They're still like these very powerful communication channels, especially in an election. So I agree with you. I think it'll be interesting to see how those tension points play out in this coming year. Are there other tech issues that you're expecting to really dominate on the campaign trail in 2024?
I mean, I think one of the sleeper issues could be the issue of children's online safety. Like, everybody is actually worried about kids and the impact of social media on them. And, you know, there's a lot of research about kind of the gender biases and young teenage girls and women being negatively affected in terms of their body images and how they're feeling about themselves. So there is a sense that we need tougher legislation in this area. Like, the social media platforms often technically have a requirement that you have to be of a certain age, you know, 16, 17 or 18 in order to use the platform, but they're not very rigorous about actually enforcing that. There's no clear mechanism to identify the age and make sure someone is of age in order to use the social media platform. So there actually could be a legislation to crack down on some of those practices, but also just things that are targeting young people in ways that I think everybody would recognize is very unhealthy.
Right. Just on yesterday's podcast, we were talking about how we've seen a lot of activity on that at the state level, a lot of state legislation getting passed around children's online safety. And there are certainly some bills in Congress that have been proposed and debated. Nothing passed so far. But you're right. I think that is an issue to watch. I agree. I'm curious, you know, you wrote a lot after the 2020 election about sort of the state of America's democracy and our divisive politics. We're looking now in 2024 at a potential, if not likely, rematch between President Biden and former President Trump. What will be different this time around?
What's going to be different in 2024 is what I have called the tsunami of disinformation that's going to affect this election campaign, because we've basically democratized the tools of disinformation through generative AI. You know, it used to be to use complicated and sophisticated AI tactics, you had to have a pretty good technical background. Today, AI is prompt-driven and template-driven, which basically means anybody can use it. You can use it to create fake videos. In fact, the tech companies are now putting image creators within their basic tools that are available to everybody who's using those platforms. So anybody can manipulate images, come up with a fake video, have a candidate or celebrity or anyone else saying something that they didn't actually say. And so the risk for democracy is really rising in this election campaign. I think everybody's recognizing it's likely to be a close election, may come down to tens of thousands of votes in three or four critical states. It would be terrible if this election gets decided based on disinformation. And then, of course, the other issue is just foreign intervention. When you look around the world, like, many countries see this as a very impactful election for the things they care about. Like, Putin is just salivating over the possibility we're going to elect candidates that cut off military assistance to Ukraine, which basically means Russia wins the war. So Russia has a clear stake in the outcome of this election. China seems to be ramping up its activities. Iran cares about this election. The Saudis care. I mean, you can kind of go around the world. The number of countries that have a technical capability to disrupt our elections and have a favored candidate, it's actually a pretty long list of countries. So I think everybody should be worried about the possibility of foreign intervention in this election.
You know, I want to ask, we've talked a lot about what issues are going to be focused on and talked about in 2024. I'm curious if there's any issue that you think deserves more attention in 2024, but is not likely to get it.
Well, the big economic problem in the technology area is antitrust enforcement, monopoly power, and lack of a serious effort at competition policy. Like, you know, the big tech companies are basically dominating each of their respective areas. Some of them are acting responsibly, but some of them are engaging in abusive practices. You know, some of them now are the object of enforcement actions from the Federal Trade Commission. But, you know, that's something that really affects people. Like, people end up paying higher prices. They have fewer choices. They have companies that are advantaging their own products over the products of competitors. Like, this is a bread and butter issue, but we're not really paying much attention. Like, I don't hear the candidates talking about that. We don't have serious reform proposals that are put on the table. A couple years ago, Congress actually was debating competition policy and antitrust enforcement and trying to figure out ways to toughen the rules. But that legislation ended up going nowhere and it has kind of disappeared from our agenda. So that's something we should be talking more about.
Well, listen, Daryl, insightful. We'll be watching to see how all of this plays out this year. Thanks for being here on Politico Tech.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be with you.
That's all for today's Politico Tech. For more tech news, subscribe to our newsletters, Digital Future Daily and Morning Tech. Music in today's episode comes from the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. Our managing producer is Annie Reese. Our producer is Afra Abdullah. Our editors are Steve Heuser, Daniela Cheslow, and Louisa Savage. I'm Stephen Overly. See you back here tomorrow.